The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Boo, Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back. We are back. Obviously, we will be releasing this on a Tuesday. We wanted to take at least 24 hours to let everything that happened in the NFC Championship where the Lions blow a 17-point lead going into halftime to lose 34-31 to the San Francisco 49ers. And as Dan Campbell put it, one of the rare shots that we got to go to a Super Bowl. What we can do is comments later. But either way, heartbreaking loss by every way you look at it. No two ways about it. But we're going to dive into all of that, all the decision making, all the plays and everything like that right now. But before we do, let's get introduced to Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got Bob.
Hello there.
Red Dog.
Yo.
And UJ.
Hello, Lions fans.
So really quick, even before we begin the game and all the details of the game, really quick, I just wanted to throw this to Bob. You are able to go to this game, which is incredible. Just tell us really quick about the atmosphere, the crowd, and just your experience. Just your experience at the game, more so than the actual game.
Yeah, the place was buzzing. I mean, everyone got there really early. They opened like one gate like 3 hours before the game, but you have to wait inside for another hour until the next gate opens, which is weird. I don't know why they just let people in. But there was tons of Lions fans there. You know, everyone's like, you know, chanting Jared Goff and high-fiving and fist bumping and all that.
Awesome. So
the atmosphere is great. And then once the game started, you think you could even tell on TV, there was tons of blue out there.
Yeah.
Lots of Lions fans. We were loud, you know, even when they were on offense and I could just, when we had that lead, the place was just, the Lions fans were louder than the 49er fans even, because they had kind of cooled them down, and then it all changed from there. But it was a great experience. I'm glad I went. I don't regret it. It was amazing. It was fun.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, can't regret a trip like that for sure. So do we want to, we can take this podcast two different directions. We can go from the progression of the game and talk about that, or do we jump right into the controversial stuff? What do we want to do? Start with the good and lead it to the bad?
Yeah. Is there something controversial?
Recap the good news first, and then we'll...
All right, so the Lions come out again. Like, they have a lot during this year. Guns blazing on offense. An absolutely electric Jameson Williams reverse touchdown run. Oh my God, that was, talk about getting hyped up for the game, and then like 2 minutes into the game, you get the JMO reverse touchdown. What a just an extreme feat of athleticism. Great play call too, obviously, but man.
And him keeping his feet there as he's like stumbling into the end zone.
Yeah.
So good.
That was amazing.
It was awesome. And I mean, it was a Montgomery 4-yard run, Montgomery 15-yard run, Laporta 14-yard pass, and then the JMO touchdown run. So just come out. The cannons firing right away on offense. Beautiful thing to see. Man, did JMO elite? I thought, you know, I'm sure you guys feel the same way, but I thought after that, like, this is just going to be the JMO game, like we were kind of talking about in the pregame. And it didn't quite turn out that way, especially one big play that, you know, he missed on a deep throw that he probably slowed down just one step too slow on. Later in the game,
went right between his arms.
So close to being a big JMO breakout game, but
it was still pretty much better.
Two touchdowns, right?
He did have two touchdowns. He did.
Yeah, one of his better games.
And another really difficult catch along the way too.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's really funny to that, you know, he was known for the drops in the first, you know, few games, and it was in the preseason too, but no problems with the second half of the season, that's for certain. He's caught everything is thrown his way. Even it the one that tough one in this game that kind of was thrown a little bit behind him and he wrestled the ball.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if he's got that clip of Dan Campbell talking about, like, oh, you know, he's not necessarily going to be like a great hands receiver. Like let's just
he's not a great hands receiver, but he's still catching tough catches right now.
Well, I mean, what do you mean he's not a great hands receiver? Like, I think my point was that Dan Campbell was egging him on with that statement. I think he took it personally and was a great hands receiver down the stretch, made some excellent catches.
All right. Right. We're not disagreeing with
hands guy.
Yeah.
I'm not agreeing with the hands receiver part. I know he made that catch in the end zone.
Yeah, he's not like an Amon Ra.
He caught like the back end of the ball. That thing was almost out of his hand.
It was an excellent catch. Stucky.
Now that was a nice catch. Yeah. Okay. But some of the other ones, he's like fighting for some guy, like he's catching in his shoulder and he's catching in weird places. I mean, I wouldn't call him a great hands receiver. But as long as he catches it, I don't care if he catches it with his feet or his ass cheeks. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So after the first electric touchdown drive, the 49ers, they go down a little bit, 12 plays. But the Michigan, Jake Moody does the Michigan faithful a solid and misses the field goal wide right. So nice. 6.5 minutes in the game. Lions up 7-0. Miss a field goal. Great. Then the Lions come down 11 plays, 5.5 minutes off the clock. Touchdown run from David Montgomery up the middle. Just a clinical drive. And this, the Lions offensive line is blowing this defensive line off the ball. This supposedly vaunted
dominance.
49, especially up the middle on the left side. Iwasaka had a really solid game. I don't think we're missing Jonah Jackson too much in this game. Even the two sacks that were taken were not on that side of the ball. It was on the right side of the ball, actually, in this game. Where Sewell tried to take on two people, and then Skipper got dominated on one. He was left solo on Bosa. Didn't work out well for him.
oh, yeah.
Did you guys notice how they were using Sewell? Moving as a tight end with Skipper lined up as right tackle.
Yeah, he's in the Skipper role, essentially, in that drive there.
That's so cool.
Really
cool. That was cool.
Use him like a weapon.
Oh, yeah. So the Lions go 14-0. I told you, Jay, we were watching the game, and I was like, we've been here before. Dallas up 14-0 early in the game. No, you can't take anything for granted. So San Francisco comes down. Scores a touchdown to make it 14-7. McCaffrey, of course, getting the touchdown. 14-7. The Lions come out, get a couple first downs, but nonetheless, they have the punt. They punt it to the San Francisco 12. And then Josh Pascal tips a Brock Purdy pass. Josh Pascal on a pass rush. And then also Hutch had a great pass rush on that, too. And then a guy named Malcolm Rodriguez, a.k.a. Rodrigo. It's an interception after Derek Barnes' injury fills in place for him. Comes up with the pick. It was awesome. What a great moment. Two players from the same draft class that keep progressing. It was a really cool moment. But just what was your guys' feeling about that moment right there?
Stellar play. I think it showed how important it was. I think their success on the stretch was Pascal coming on as the season. I think his development really was a big reason we were able to push this deep. But also just awesome. I thought that was honestly at that point, I thought we were going to win that game.
the stadium was electric, man. At that point, we were jumping around. We had a bunch of Lions fans around us. We're all high-fiving each other. It was, it was insane.
Oh, man, I bet.
I think it shows a lot about our depth, too, though. You know, Rodrigo's kind of taking a back seat this year with Barnes coming on and Jack Campbell being drafted. And he's seeing significant playing time in this game, and he showed up, man. Made a couple of big hits and get the interception. It just shows we got a lot more depth than we ever had before. So that was nice to see.
And this spoke more like the Lions pass rush in the first half. They came out. The Lions looked like the more energetic, the more hungry team in the first half here. And it showed in the pass rush too. Like Amelia McNeil was getting after the quarterback, like laying some wood on Brock Purdy. And Hutch, early on at least, a couple pass deflections too. The Lions are getting their hands up in the passing lane to Brock Purdy. They're making him really uncomfortable. Unfortunately, didn't really come to fruition in the second half. But in the first half, it was awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
If a first half could win you a football game, the Lions just won a football game.
That was clinical, that first half. We put on a show.
It was like, it was just so much fun. That was some of the most fun football I've ever watched in my life. Just watching the Lions absolutely dominate the first half.
Where did you leave us in your narrative? Are we 14-0?
So wait, we just got the pick. We just got the pick. We're a 14-7, but we just got the interception. The Lions score on a beautiful touchdown run from Jahmyr Gibbs on the outside to show his electric speed off the edge, just beating linebackers to the sideline. And then I don't know if you guys saw or rewatched the replay again, but if you – and there was people out there like, why didn't we go get Chase Young at the trade deadline? Well, according to some reports today, Chase Young might be benched for the Super Bowl because his effort was awful in this game. On that Jahmyr Gibbs touchdown run, he just completely like stopped. He like literally was walking in the middle of the play. And then, of course, his backside help would have helped tackle Jahmyr Gibbs because he made a backside cut near the end inside the five. Anyways, beautiful run from Gibbs. Lions go up 21-7. Ah, Gibbs, what a beast. Because he also had that third down conversion on like third and 12 that Lions run.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yes.
A counter draw play to the outside, which is like. You know, only the Lions, right? Only the Lions.
I think he's going to be the best back in the league next year.
He's phenomenal. The kid is a star, man. It's just all there is to
it. He's got ridiculous skills.
Horrible first-round draft pick. Horrible.
And I think the best part about his game, too, that's really improved besides like the patience and the vision, is his pass blocking, I think, has surpassed Montgomery. I wouldn't call him a lead pass blocker yet because you just got to see it a little more over time, but his pass blocking from the beginning of the season to now like was a complete 180. He is a beast and a very willing blocker in the pass game, which is really cool to see. So, Bob, I don't know if you want to add anything else about Gibbs before I move on to the last part of the first half here.
Yeah, I mean, when you're telling the kid the story of this game, this is where you want to nod off, you know, pretty much around or coming up here. And then you can hear the rest later. But, no, Gibbs is amazing. It was so fun. It's always fun to watch him. You never know when he's going to break a long one. So
definitely.
There's just more. It's a rookie, man. Oh, well, now he's not anymore, but wow.
And him and Montgomery are both under contract for like the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is
they're locked in, baby.
Exciting. Well, Gibbs for three, Monty for two. But yeah, it's definitely set up well. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, especially as long as we keep the offensive line intact, too, and healthy.
I think we're going to have to add to the offensive line, honestly. Big boys interior.
I'm sure we'll get into that soon. So the Lions then force a three and out. So everything's looking great. They're getting the ball back with 5 minutes left on their own 30, and they run a 17-play drive to run out the rest of the half. 17 plays, but it ends up with a fourth down on the they're on the 3 yard line, and they like to kick a field goal at the end of the first half. And this
Dan
is the
Campbell
first
should have gone for it.
Makes sense. Should kick a field goal.
Should have gone for it.
Yeah, I should have.
So
gone
this
for
is
it.
This is perplexing, especially what transpired in the second half. Them not going for it. Did you guys find that odd that they weren't going for it? Because, you know, Bob, you seem to agree with the decision, right?
I you go up three scores at the half.
Yes.
You know, that's take that on the road, you know, for sure. Mm-hmm. Then rather risk being three touchdowns. I mean, three scores.
So I think you might foreshadow some of the other decisions later or your yes. side that you might take in. But right now, you're saying no.
What did you guys opposite. Think? Oh, you wanted to go?
Oh no, I'm saying I'm fine with it. It's like I think he felt like it was a good time to kick. I just think Dan felt like that was a good opportunity to take a 3-score lead, and at that point in that game, it just felt right to kick it. So I agree with it.
UJ,
yeah, same here. Same here. No problem with the kick.
I didn't really have an issue with it. I was. In the back of my mind, I was kind of hoping for it because that's what they've done a lot this year. But, you know, when you're up two scores, yes, you probably should kick it. But I don't know. You have them on the ropes. You're moving the ball 17 plays down the field just to sell for a field goal. It feels kind of like a victory for the defense in a way before the half.
Well, it does. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. But still, like you say, come away with points. You come in with lead. You score right before the half, which is nice. You know, it's all good mojo as far as I'm concerned.
Did you like the play calling with 30 seconds left inside the 10? It's a pass right incomplete to Laporta. Gibbs on a draw for 1 yard, and then another short pass to Gibbs on the left side. So nothing even towards the end zone.
I was not really happy. At that point, I wanted to see him just blast it, you know, get Montgomery or something there and just take our offensive line and shove it up their ass, you know. Like, yeah. I think we'd have had a better chance personally. You get a little cute around the goal line. It's hard to make a 3 yard pass in the end zone, man. I mean, it's really hard in the NFL. And there's so much traffic out there, so many people running around. It's hard.
Do you think the Lions target a wide receiver that can like run a fade route, like a contested fade route in the back corner of the end zone that you see a lot of other teams run? Because I don't really recall
we
the
don't
Lions
have
running
that yeah.
too much on the team. I guess Laporta would be the best guy, but he's more like a box out over the middle type.
You look like you disagree with me and your mannerisms.
Why do you?
I'm gonna rock out one of those last week.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah,
like,
that was from further out, so that's a little different. That wasn't like a jump ball contested 50-50 fade, right?
Right.
I mean, you could try that to Reynolds.
Well, people's not Jones, Reynolds in maybe. This game. Yeah, Peoples Jones probably best candidate right now with the.
I don't know that you need to draft a receiver just to do that.
Obviously not just to do that, but a guy that is capable and can in the red zone. I don't know. It was just interesting.
Yeah.
Did you feel we were seriously lacking that option or something?
No. I think it was just something that crossed my mind at that moment. So
I think the way they have these receivers, though, they want everybody to be able to do everything. Like,
right,
these
right.
guys are pretty versatile. So I'm all for upgrading the talent, though, at receiver. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, yes. All right. Mm-hmm. So the Lions going to half up 24-7. And if we rewatch this game, we will just turn it off right there. It was a great first half. We can just assume the Lions are going to the Super Bowl, right? Well, all right. Yeah. So the Lions... They come out
in my headcanon. They are
in the second half. The 49ers run 9 plays. They settle for a field goal. Okay. The Lions hunkered down inside the red zone just outside the red zone. Force a Jake Moody field goal. He nails it this time. A little easier, 43 yards. So okay, like that's fine. You know they're gonna get theirs at some point. So. The Lions then respond with a fairly decent drive inside of the San Francisco 30. It's 4th and 2 at the San Francisco 28. Do the Lions kick a field goal? Do they go for the field goal? No, this is the Dan Campbell Lions. This is the Dan Campbell Lions. 4th and 2. They decide to go for it. And Josh Reynolds is open on a simple hook route, something that the Lions have probably run 1,000 times in practice in the offseason, etc. Especially with Josh Reynolds over the years. And I wouldn't call it like a perfect throw from Goff by any means, but extremely catchable ball from Reynolds. And he drops it. Yep. So, Bob, you think the Lions should kick the field goal in this situation, correct?
Absolutely. Because they were up 3 scores. Then the 49ers came down and moved the ball pretty well. Like, okay, they're going to, and they got some points. So they're picking up some momentum. You're like, if you get the 3 points right there, you just erase what they did, and we're back to the 3-score lead, and there's more time off the clock. We're just that much closer. And then, because if you miss like they did, then if they score back, then it's only a 1-score game. So it's a quick switch of momentum there. So you got to keep that 3-score lead when you can do it.
I'm going to disagree with that.
I agree with what Campbell did right there.
I'm with you.
You know, he's been aggressive all season. He believes in that the dagger theory. Like, let's put these guys out of misery, man. Like, let's take them out. And by doing that, by keeping the ball in our hands, we don't let them have the ball. We don't let them score. It was a well-executed play. Guy dropped the ball. Very unusual this season. They've been catching all this stuff. And it would. So look at it this way. If he'd have caught it, then what? What are we saying?
Genius.
They go down the field. Maybe they score again, you know, and then really put the game out of reach. We win the game like earlier. You know what I'm saying? It didn't work. Okay, it didn't work.
This is what they've done all year, too. They would have to change who they are and change their identity, yes, really, in that moment.
Exactly.
That's that killer instinct, yeah, of Dan Campbell. He was going for the kill instead of trying to, yep, like, fend off.
I don't agree with that.
What do you think he was doing?
No, they don't. They didn't do that every time this year.
I don't care. It's not about every time this year. It's about
they did a lot. Yeah, but they didn't always do it.
So Lions went for it more than anybody on 4th-and-3 or less in the league. They went for it 20 times. They were successful 80% of the time. Badgley kicking from 45 to 48 yards, which is both scenarios that we'll talk about here, the big ones in the second half. Career, 49% kicking from that distance. So technically, you know, the odds are here, favored by going for it rather than, and also, you know, it's not all about the analytics. Before you hire me about the analytics, but the
I don't think Campbell looks at going that shit personally. I don't think he looks at that at all.
He didn't miss half of them this year that you're talking about. You got to look at this year where how he's kicking.
Yeah, but
well, I mean,
he
doesn't kick.
I honestly don't think Dan Campbell considered that he couldn't make the kick. I think Dan Campbell considered he wanted to get more yards and put this team away. If you convert there, you're looking at scoring a touchdown instead of a field goal. You're putting away the team that you need to put away, and that was why they did it. It cost them that, you know, that they didn't get them, but you know, that's if they kick those field goals, that's not like it's like some security blanket that stops this comeback. So I don't think field goals get the job done.
Points versus no points, that does help.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee.
You try to score more points than the opponent.
If you tell me that Josh Reynolds is going to be open on a, if you tell me that Josh Reynolds is going to be open on a 5-yard hook route on 4th-and-2, before the play, I would take it 100 out of 100 times. I think. And,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The percentages are in Dan's favor. His instincts were in his favor. It's just the thing didn't go his way. His player made a mistake. Honestly, I feel like this team sort of caught a little bit of the whiff of the Super Bowl air just beyond the second half and all those points they got stacked up, and just they faltered a little bit. Our receivers dropped passes uncharacteristically. We put the ball on the ground uncharacteristically. I think the players more than anything just failed to grab the moment.
Dan Campbell just curious about this
part of the blame.
That kick, well, when they were lining up to kick, not to kick, to go for it on 4th down, the people like that we were with were all like, "Why the hell is he doing that? Like, take the damn points!" And so we were like upset about the whole thing.
Well, I was doing the opposite. I was going, "Yeah, go for it."
Yeah, so I was curious. Were you guys all like kind of?
I was for it in a moment. Yeah,
I was for it. I was for it.
And I have been all year. Like, this is not new. This would not be surprising that Dan Campbell did this. This is what he does. This is like the team rallies around this identity of aggressiveness. I think to go away from that would have been to be against who they were as a team all year.
You're right. He also does smart. He's charged coach smart most of the time, too. It's not just.
Well, he can be over aggressive. We saw that at the end of Dallas from the 7-yard line going for it on 2. So he can be over aggressive at times.
I like that call.
What? You like that? Which call? Like this? This would be way more justifiable.
Hell, NFC Championship? Damn, come on. We go up 3 scores? Hell yeah.
Yeah, but how far are we talking about teams trying to get conservative?
Yes.
You know? And as soon as you start doing that, you're starting to lose. You know, it's like going to the prevent.
Yeah, you can't play to not lose. You have to play
to lose. Yeah, and Campbell's playing but to they lost. Take their heart out. But
they lost with your strategy.
Well,
it did. You're right. It lost.
In hindsight, it's easy to say.
So why is it? Why would conservatism affect anything? They lost anyway.
That's the thing. That's the thing.
I've seen a lot of teams.
You say Dan Campbell blew this game. I just don't think. I think that's a factually incorrect statement to say that Dan Campbell blew this game.
Yeah, did Dan Campbell lose it or did the players lose it?
The players did.
His team lost, and he takes the brunt of carrying his team. But his decisions.
There was a fumble. There was 2 drop key drop passes.
Did you guys listen to 97 won the ticket at all today?
No.
There's some people calling for Dan Campbell to be fired. I'm like, come on.
Bullshit.
Idiots.
That's
come on. The hosts were calling it out like that they're stupid, but like, come on, people.
I thought the players were amazing in this game. Those guys were hitting hard out there.
Except for a couple plays.
But that's the thing.
There's mistakes, but I mean, the effort out there was outstanding.
Outstanding.
All out. Without a doubt.
That's the thing. Like, honestly, the pointing of blame is let's point it where it also belongs a bit, on the freaking San Francisco 49ers, a team that has repeatedly returned to this game to try to get their shot at the big game.
Oh, come on.
The Lions are a better team in this game. The Lions beat themselves in this game.
They beat themselves.
Yeah,
go bow to your altar of Joe Montana some other time, man. This is the Lions podcast.
Dan Campbell hater. I mean, like, seriously, though, they played a good team. I know it's like hard to forget, remember that, because we jumped out to a big lead, but that was a good team. And
we were the better team.
A battle hardened team, a team who knew the playoffs. Like, I think their experience showed down the stretch of that game a little bit.
Red Dogs fighting for that participation.
That was Brock
trophy.
Purdy's first NFC championship game.
And let's look at the luck of the bounce once in a while too. Like Vildor's defense on it.
That's the next possession.
Go ahead, get to that.
No, no, no. That's the next possession, UJ. I mean, the Lions. It's first and 10. A couple of nice plays. Or a 17-yard pass to Samuel, and then the bomb to Ayuk. It looked like you're calling defensive pass interference. It picked it up after. Really didn't matter because Vildor, who is not a very good player, let's be honest, he's not very good. These offenses have been attacking
him. Good run defense.
But anyways, they attack him. He actually gets in great position to get a pick, and it just goes boink off the face mask. And then Ayuk, to his credit, made a really nice play. Kind of jumps or maintains his feet, which is tough to do, and then corrals the ball in. And then Lions get to a 3rd and 6. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I don't know what he was doing. He was like an inch away from the ball and just kind of like lethargically went after it in midair. I did not love his effort on this play on the touchdown Ayuk to make it 24-17. But man, the Vildor one is just killer. That's really where it kind of flipped. You can say the turnover on downs. You can say this deep pass that the Lions are not allowing up until this point in the game.
See, what do you chalk that up to, though? Just freak the football gods, shined upon Frisco that moment, or just a player made a bad play on the ball. He didn't get his hands on the ball. Whatever.
More like a player made a good play.
That's just freaky.
Just freaky luck, the way it bounced.
But little things did start to go their way, like when we had another sort of Derek Barnes blitz moment against Dallas where
he
had a nice blitz. And he missed it on Purdy, and he gets free to just sling it downfield for that 10-yard. Like, that was the thing. Things just started going the 49ers way. They were just gaining momentum.
Do you guys agree with me, though, on the C.J. Gardner-Johnson piece on the touchdown?
I do agree with this, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I know we talked about that a little bit after. You know, next year, do you want to see him back? They're very up for questioning.
He was okay in his return. I wouldn't call him excellent by any means.
I wouldn't either.
He got back healthy.
But it's hard to say when he came back from injury. He only had a couple games or so.
Yeah,
a whole season.
You'd have to come making a cheap contract, in my opinion, if they want to have him back. Otherwise, I don't mind them moving on.
My biggest
saw the play happen, but I couldn't give you I'd have to watch the game on tape.
Yeah, go back, let us know your thoughts. I'm curious, but
CJ.
I have to
look into that play, but overall, I kind of like him just because the energy he brings and the swagger kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he's not like everybody else on the team. He's his own little kind of weird energy guy.
Yeah, so. Very weird
energy. Weird energy is the right word, Bob. And like,
that
I
is
would
the
say
right word.
Maybe very chaotic well energy. Like honestly, I feel like while you're like kind of gets you all psyched and gets a lot out of his energy, like I feel like you don't know when that like just like suddenly bounce back on the team or something for something silly. Like I'm honestly like, I think the best silver lining of his injury this year was that it nipped that whole ski mask thing in the bud. Because honestly, I never felt great about that whole thing.
Yeah, I didn't like that either. But the one thing about CJ, though, I think that weird part of him is kind of why Brad Holmes wanted him, though. Because he has that kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, he's a veteran. He's been around a while.
I thought it was because he was just a really good player.
If he fits in and Dan still likes him, I'm fine. If he fits on Dan's squad, he can stick around as long as Dan says.
He is one of the more interesting locker room interviews, though, compared to some of the other guys, you know.
Well, yeah.
Everyone else follows the playbook in the locker room speeches, you know, saying all the cliche stuff, and he's a little more interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll get into this in later podcasts, but it'll be really interesting to see what the Lions do with their offseason at the secondary, because they kind of revamped it all in the offseason, and well, it wasn't a very good secondary overall this year. And they might have some more work to do.
You can't rely on
Emmanuel Moseley to come back healthy. He's hardly played in his career. Cam Sutton, okay. Definitely not a great second half of the season for him. Left on an island a lot. It's tough. But
he's also the highest paid.
Let's hope so. Even if he isn't, they might come out and say, like, you know,
he was just so good early in the season, though. Like,
he was
lockdown cornerback. Then, like, something happened, and I even remember hearing him.
I'll tell you one thing that happened. The Lions started playing a lot more man defense in the second half of the season. They were, like, under 30% to start the season, then they went to 56, 60% near the end of the season. Right. So they really changed their defense. We talked about the blitzing, and when you're blitzing.
Well, that coincides with the blitzing, though. When you're blitzing a lot more, you have to run a lot more man. So it's just, you know.
Right, so he's left on an island a lot more. Although I think that's what they brought him in for, because I mean, Aaron Glenn wants to play man. Ideally, they went to zone because man wasn't working last year, and then zone wasn't working this year, so they went back.
That's why I still think he was banged up and just wasn't executing at 100%. But I think he's a keeper either way, and I'm really glad we got him for multiple years. I don't want to label him a one or a two.
I would say two, piece. Ideally. But
I'm with you, Z. I think he's a two.
That's why I think everybody has the Lions projecting to draft a cornerback in this draft. Cooper
DeJean
would be awesome from Iowa. That'd be amazing. But we can get that later.
That would be interesting. I'd like to see that one.
You say he's a high-end two, low-end one, maybe. Like, I just feel like
Kool-Aid McKinstry, because he's got the Kool-Aid name.
If you had another cornerback across
from Bama.
Yeah.
Sutton, he's two, good. He might not have got.
Who?
I said if you had another guy across from Sutton, you know, it might have helped him as well.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Anyway.
So,
track a bit.
Touchdown. Lions are up 24-17. It's tough. It's a tight game. 5 minutes left in the third quarter. But okay. All right. So, Lions, you know, let's get that great offensive drive right back. Let's try to get the score right back. Oh, first play. Uh-oh. Jahmyr Gibbs runs the wrong way. It was definitely Jahmyr Gibbs running the wrong way. The rest of the team was running a different play, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And it caused a fumble. Lions give the ball right back. And I think this was the biggest killer of them all in this game.
Agreed.
I would agree.
I mean, that just cannot happen. They were winning the turnover battle 1-0. And then right away in their own like territory, this is just the killer. And it sucks. No two ways about it, really. I'm not even sure what else to say about it other than it really sucks. And I think this is, I mean, definitely like percentage wise and all that stuff, this was the biggest swing in the game in favor of the 49ers, like win probabilities and stuff like that, was this fumble. Just a killer. And you know what? The funny thing is, like, Goff, it's funny. Nobody's talking about how, like, this game was on Goff or anything like that. Goff played a phenomenal game. He played a great game.
Very good.
So kudos to Goff. He made a great – every throw was pretty much on the money. It was up to the other guys to make a play. Another – like that one throw he had to – I believe it was Amon Ross St. Brown, like right to his back shoulder in between two guys. Like he only threw it – he threw it into place only his receiver could catch it and no one else. It was right out of the reach of the linebacker, right in front of the safety. Just like those like that were just –
he missed a couple. Awesome, like he trickled one to someone's feet.
On the fourth down? On the fourth down?
I can't.
Oh, the flea flicker. Yeah, that was a bad one.
That's what I asked.
10 yards.
Did
short.
He just underthrow that, or did it get tipped or something? Because that just was. I don't think it was tipped.
Yeah. I just don't think he got.
But there was pressure coming
out. Yeah, I think he rushed his hand and didn't get a good grip on the ball and just kind of launched it.
He had to throw it fast because they were coming in.
Yeah, and then the other
is definitely not famous for his tight spirals.
Yeah, and then Laporta, he missed on a poster out inside the red zone.
Yeah,
that would have been a really tough throw. He just missed him, but
Yep.
One to Reynolds when he was like scrambling right when was that? It just kind of, that was on words like at the feet too, just didn't get the distance.
But we know about Goff outside of the pocket. It's not, I wouldn't call it elite by any means.
I mean, Goff wasn't the problem for us.
No. He was not. Which is great news for him.
Goff was fine.
The news coming out right before the game, too, is that the Lions are looking to extend him, but just not surprising.
No.
So we fumble. The 49ers score a touchdown like 4 plays later, and boom, it's tie game. 3 minutes left in the third quarter. Just like that, 17 points unanswered. The Lions come back out. This is the Josh Reynolds clutch all year. 3rd and 9, probably has an easy 15 to 20 yard gain. Running his route to the sideline, drops the ball again. This was even more inexcusable than the last one, honestly.
I don't know what was with him that day.
Just brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal. Bob, what was on that drop, what was the feeling in the stands like?
Yeah. There was several of us starting to get worried here, you know, and that was such a disappointing drop, man. It was like,
Yeah, because that keeps the drive going after a touchdown. Doesn't give it right, like our defense kind of been on the field like a lot recently.
Yeah.
And 3 and out, just a killer. So we punt it back. They go down 11 plays. I can't remember. This is Aleem McNeil had a sack on this drive. It's 3rd and 19. And Brock Purdy throws a pass up 7 yards. Then they settle for a field goal, 33 yards. Okay. Lions held them. San Francisco even had to use a timeout on that drive. I think this is the one where if he missed, wasn't it? Because George Kittle had a 28-yard catch on this, so I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
On this drive. I thought that was maybe the one where
if he missed the sack.
I thought they just settled for a field goal.
Oh, is this I just want to make sure really quick. Okay, so actually that punt too, I forgot to mention on the punt. Come on, Chase Lucas, what are you doing?
Almost.
That was bad.
Yes.
Man. What are you doing?
He's running, he's sprinting punt. Full go, a 74-yard punt to the 1 yard line.
What a punt.
just tap it back. Let it go inside the 5. What are you doing? What are you doing? They got to work on this a million times in practice, right? I bet no time in practice they say, pick up the ball and run it into the end zone. Oh, and then let it go. That made me livid. Like, that's just stupid. I hate watching these guys do it. It happens all the time in the NFL. Besides the Lions, like they just it annoys me to no end. That's one of the it's inexcusable. That was inexcusable.
Z, if you're ever captured by the enemy, I think the way they can get stuff out of you is by show you tapes of guys running down to try to get a punt down at the 1 and running into the end zone.
Oh my god.
To lose it.
Two videos. Man,
it's kudos to him for chasing season. Down a 74-yard punt. But man, Jack Fox booted that thing. It rocketed into the air to absolutely give our guys time to even like get under it and stop it.
Okay, Bob, you were there. How did that punt look to you?
Oh, it looked incredible.
It looked and then awesome.
I thought we were going to just camp out the 1 and, you know, just nail it there. And I'm like, oh, God.
That had to be a sight to behold, that punt.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Jack Fox was awesome in these playoffs.
Had him
buried. Awesome.
He's been great this year.
His hang time is like ridiculous. That. He's got like a rubber leg or something. It's but even like from before, like he turned up another gear in the playoffs punting and towards the end of the season. I'm not sure what he changed in his like kick, but I don't remember him booting like this.
He put cork in
throughout
the shoe.
His entire career.
he corked his butt.
And it was funny. Yeah. I mentioned, I think during the Bills Chiefs game, like Sam Martin, he botched another punt in the playoffs for the Bills this.
He did.
That brought
That's
me
what he
Sharon.
Does best.
Martin's a choker, baby.
So man, just an absolute killer. I forgot to mention that at the end of that last drive, because then they marched down for the field goal here.
That's where I feel like plays like that are why. Like this team, it was just those little things that championship teams don't do, and that's just that experience, that being there. Like, I think that's what we're earning right now. We earned with this game,
yeah,
for our core at least.
All right. So now the San Francisco's up with about 10 minutes left in the game, 27-24. Lions get the ball back. First play, deep throw to JMO. JMO makes a really nice play. It was not a great throw by Goff by any means, kind of on the back shoulder. JMO had to go back for it, wrestle with the ball a little bit. Great catch by JMO, 22 yards. Monty, 16-yard run. Okay, the Lions are already inside the 40. A deep pass to JMO, incomplete. Oh, JMO, just one more step. One more step. It did go through his arms, but just one more step makes an easy completion. If you watch the route, he just slows down a little. I don't know why he was slowing
was
down
it
a little
bit. The flea flicker?
Yeah, the flea flicker one, yep. That where yeah. you had two guys right behind him. It was a great throw by Goff. It was the right throw.
It was a good throw. It was a good throw.
Bob, was that on your end zone or the other end zone?
That was the other end zone.
Okay. Yeah, that was. Right. Are the replay? Are the video boards good in that stadium? Are you able to see the replays easily?
Yeah, they are. They have big, big, big video board.
How is their home crowd like compared to the Ford Field? At least
there is considering all the Lions fans that were there. They actually got pretty loud. I mean, they're pretty into it, but
okay.
They have all their weird little chants. I don't even know what the hell they're doing, but and then they did quiet them down in the first half, though the Lions did. So.
Yeah,
unfortunately, yeah. Let them get in. Like they did the decibel thing at the get to 109 on their thing.
Really that's probably probably generous too. So
yeah, which Ford Field?
It's outdoors too. I mean, yeah.
What did Ford Field like? Wasn't it 135, 134?
Yeah, I think the record one. Yeah,
134 or something. Yeah.
Something like that. So the pass goes incomplete to JMO. Another pass incomplete to Gibbs. 7-yard completion to St. Brown. All right, 4th and 3. San Francisco 30. That means a 47-yard field goal, or hell they yeah, go right? for it. And what do? They kick the field goal, right, Bob? No.
I hope so.
No.
Oh, damn it.
They go for it. And this time, it did not look good. And this is where Goff out of the pocket, not magical. He's not Mahomes out of the pocket. Because better
is he
throw.
Mahomes in the pocket?
Technically. Huh?
Is he Mahomes in the pocket?
Sure.
And I also wanted the field goal at this point, just for the record. I don't know what you guys thought of this one.
I was all for
I
it.
Like going for it. I like going for it.
Go for the win, baby.
I do. I like going for it. Again, I don't want to repeat myself about like the percentages and stuff like that, but and
you could argue the play
this
call
is the same argument
great.
As before, but now it's just later in the game and down 3, the Lions could go up by I mean, the Lions defense was not playing very well at this point. So the Lions can go up by and force San Francisco to have the drive down the field late to get a touchdown. I think that's a better result. Then San Francisco down, score a touchdown. Anyways, but I don't know. I liked going for it. I think the Lions had to score a touchdown here. I don't think a field goal would have been good enough the way our defense was playing in the second half. That's my feeling. How about you, UJ?
Yeah, I was the same way. I was going for it too. You can make an argument both ways, but you know, Campbell has to stay true to himself, and he trusts his best unit, and that's his offense. And you know, they've come through all year long, so no time to stop now.
Yeah, so, just not a good play call. That's all. I think they're looking to go to LaPorta. Didn't work out.
I'd
say just throw it anyways. Just throw it to the guy in traffic. Give him a chance because that throw hadn't gave nobody any chance. So.
Right.
Rud Dog, yeah, did you said you like going for it, right?
Oh yeah, I love going for it. I mean I think you got that killer instinct, the odds are fine in your favor, you're not doing anything crazy. You know, I think Dan Campbell's default is go for a touchdown if everything's you know, else is all right, go for the score instead of settling for a field goal. So if we get a field goal touchdown there, the whole thing's different, you know. We're up by 4 and probably right. winning that I mean, game. So
you're right. If he succeeds on any of these things, it's a whole different game.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's where you got to give like San Fran some credit too. They made some plays that stopped us from doing it. Like it wasn't like we played a bad team and lost.
Well, no, I mean, right. yeah, 2 teams in the NFC championship. But Bob, you still like the going for the field goal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you got to get it whatever points you can at that point. Just kind of keep it rolling, man. I don't like
that one. In that case, I sort of agree with you in a way, Bob, just only because, you know, try to stem this tide of what was going against us. And it's only 3, but, you know, maybe that would have been a smart time to just put actual points on the board
Yeah,
just you psychologically. Say that,
like, set, like, you know, why is settling for a field goal always just assume points on the board? Like, you're still taking a chance.
No, but I'm just talking about
fourth and five, fourth and six. I would probably say kick the field goal, but this is fourth and three, where Lions make, like I said, 80% success rate in the NFL, highest by a mile across anybody in NFL.
Yeah,
and it's their identity. It's who they are. It's what got them there. They would not have been there without the identity. And you know, you live by a sword and you die by a sword. And I thought it made logical sense the way our defense was playing. Try to win the game on offense rather than throwing our defense's hand, which was not working out.
Or put it in your kicker's hands.
Well, it's not like our offense was tearing it up at that point either. I mean,
no, I mean, but that was the second time they got inside 30, so they were moving it to some degree.
Yeah, but they got stopped on the last drive, and then they got. So it wasn't like.
Yeah, I mean, but that was because of a drop. It wasn't because of something San Francisco did.
Yeah, but still the offense not executing. The offense not executing, however, whatever the reason.
Offense not executing, I agree. That was the biggest problem in this game. The fumbles, the drop passes.
Yeah.
That was our downfall.
And then the thing I haven't mentioned also is Brock Purdy started, just running up, gashing us up the middle on runs, too. The Lions has completely abandoned their pass rush concepts and from the interior at least. And then there's no line, no spy or anything over the middle. So they're kind of looking out to dry in that regard.
It was weird. Like, it was like he didn't really even consider it all that much early in the game. And he just decided, okay, we're going to run a lot more in the second half.
The Lions, they hit him a lot early. You know, I thought he was going to be a little shaken up, but he got stronger as the game went on as far as running. They did get some good licks on him, you know, during the game.
They did, yeah, especially early. I mean, it started opening up for him after the stupid boink off the helmet, because I don't think he played that good. I think Lions exposed him, especially with getting into passing lanes and deflecting a lot of passes early. But, I mean, he did enough to win at the end. I guess that's what matters. But they let McCaffrey start going there at the end. So anyways, they score, make it 34-24. Lions take 11 plays to go down to the red zone. They get the ball inside the 10 with 1:16. They have all three of their timeouts still. Firkser catches a ball in the flat and looks like he has an easy touchdown to run in. And maybe just not athletic enough. Maybe that's why he's not normally on the roster. But it looked like he had an easy touchdown. He ran outside at the 2-yard line, which kind of just perplexed me. Like, it looked like he had an easy effort to get in at least, like, or make it close. Did you guys agree with me? Because
I don't know.
It looked touchdown when he caught it. Like, but he did not have the ability to stop his momentum from going out. Because if Laporte catches it, that's a touchdown, no doubt.
I mean, he only got like half a foot out that for caught from his momentum carrying him on the catch.
Was out. But I don't care if it was half a foot; it was out. So
yeah.
But that doesn't bother me as much as what's coming next, Z.
Well, all right. So, I mean, that wouldn't bother me. But so it's on the 1-yard line. Goff passing complete short to the right. Montgomery, this is the controversial one. And this is the one play I will say I did not agree with in the moment. And then what they did after. So they run a run play with Montgomery, which was successful early on. But the way they lined up, everybody could kind of tell that the run was coming. I was hoping for play action at that moment because, I mean, J-Mo missed a block, and Campbell said J-Mo missed a block, and that's why the play blew up. But I don't like them putting J-Mo in there, him against a linebacker in that scenario. That heavily favors San Francisco.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to blame J-Mo for missing a block. I just thought it was a bad play call at a bad time, and then they burned the one, like, the only thing to have possibly useful at this point is the three timeouts and hopefully get the ball back at the end and make some miracle. They burn the timeout and then they're screwed. The lowest percentage play in all football right now, especially in the NFL, is the onside kick. So they burn the timeout. They go for the touchdown anyways on the next play. J-Mo makes a great catch again, which covered the spread. and then,
I'm with Campbell most of these decisions, but I don't know if this is on Campbell or on Ben Johnson, but. Yeah, running it there was the wrong play.
That's on Campbell. I think
it is.
You, You pass. Simple as that. Because if you don't make it on the run, the time runs out. You have to burn a timeout, and that's what they had to do.
Yeah.
And that just killed. That killed our chance at the end there. That was a bad coaching call.
Dan Campbell agrees with you.
He does.
He said. We'll do it. So,
well, here's the thing, too. He's a man of vision who has visions, and his visions have all been coming true. So he saw a vision that was going to happen. Yeah. It didn't happen. It had to be like,
vision.
I mean,
Maybe too much dip at that point in the game for Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
You can't deny, it's that, okay, I think you could, would it have made the difference? Maybe. We could have maybe got the ball back. But, I'll definitely give Dan an E on that play. It's so obvious you don't run there because, I guess you get lucky, you get the walking touchdown, great. But, there's so many other ways you can play that out that give you better chances and better odds.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Just not smart. Not smart. So they score, don't get the onside kick. The 49ers have to run the ball three times to kind of burn a little clock. That was kind of interesting. But anyways, they run out the clock. Three plays. Lions couldn't strip the ball. And ball game. San Francisco going to play the Chiefs for the second time in 4 years in the Super Bowl. And the Lions, we'll have our day. Hopefully one day in this lifetime. But it was not. Yeah. It was not yesterday, unfortunately.
And the Lions, again, are the ratings kings. They got the highest rated.
I didn't even check it out.
12 years. Yeah. In 12 years. And it's Fox's fourth highest rated non-Super Bowl game. So
the Lions are a draw, baby.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Hey, and this is progress from the last time we were in the conference championship. We didn't get blown out this time.
That's true. The last time we got blown out, 44 to nothing or something like that. It was terrible.
56 million viewers.
That's amazing. Maybe.
And it felt like everyone was pulling for the Lions. I mean, except for specific Niners fans. I think most of the country was pulling for the Lions.
Right.
It did seem
they're one of four popular story.
Yeah.
One of four teams that have never been to the Super Bowl. The other three are newer teams. The Browns, Texans and Jaguars. So,
Jaguars.
Lions easily the longest member of the NFL out of those four. Because the Browns are the Baltimore Colts before. So,
right. I just want to say, a lot of fans are upset and a lot of people are hammered Campbell. Some idiots are actually calling for me fired for his decisions. It's just so ridiculous. This team. This year has brought me more joy as a Lions fan than any other season I can remember in my lifetime. Yeah. And I'm in my 60s, okay? And and this team has brought me so much joy. Two playoff wins. Just, I can't even explain how I felt. We were at that first game, Z, and it was just euphoric, man. It was euphoric. And then the next win against Tampa was amazing. I mean, this team... No, they didn't just luck into it either. They actually built something good here. They built something really good based on positive things. I mean, bringing in the right kind of character players and the right kind of talent. And they're a joy to watch, man. They're just a joy. Campbell, goddamn. I mean, everyone's jealous that they wish they had a Dan Campbell coaching their team. I mean, so any of you fans out there who are just all pissed off because they blew the game, just screw you guys. I mean, you have no idea. You have no idea how we've suffered for year after year after year. And, yeah, we didn't make the Super Bowl. Okay, fine. But, you know, this team is building something here. And these guys are hungry. And I guarantee they're going to be hungry next year too. And generally speaking, Super Bowl teams just don't come out of the blue and win. They kind of build up to it. I mean, this, you know, like Frisco. They build up to it over a few years. Like Kansas City built up to it. Now they're there. We're building, man. We're building up to that now. Man. These guys are now, they're hardened. They're hardened by this stuff now. That gut punch they took in this game, they are not going to forget that next year. They will not forget that. This will make them harder and better. And God damn, I love this team. I just love this team. And this season was great. It sucked losing. God damn, it sucked. But man, what a great season it was. It was so much fun. That's all I got to say. I'm sorry. I can't believe people are mad. Like,
and, yeah, I agree. I completely agree.
It's terrible.
It's funny, anyway. Too, because like, only a few months of time difference, and it'd be like, oh my God, we could be in the national or the conference championship. Like, that would blow my mind. And now it's like, oh, they blew it. They suck. Just like,
yeah.
Oh, that flipped real quick. But,
nope.
There's a chance that maybe
AG
and
there's two
Ben
NFL
Johnson
openings
stick
left.
Around.
Yeah.
And I hope they both.
I think Ben Johnson's going to go to Washington. He's still the favorite there.
I think he's gone.
It's going to suck losing him. But even the Lions' pass game coordinator is getting asked by the Patriots to interview for their offense coordinator position. Tanner Engstrand.
That worries me more than Ben Johnson.
Apparently, the Lions have two in-house. I mean, we can talk about it later when the actual move happens. But Tanner Engstrand and Scotty Montgomery, our running backs coach, are kind of both in line. Or the two obvious or front runners to be the OC for the Lions if Ben Johnson is gone. It seems like Eric Glenn should stay or will stay. I don't think he's a front runner in Seattle. He's definitely not a front runner in Washington because, well, Ben Johnson is. Connor would too. He's the number one fan. So more AG to talk about.
Yeah. Right.
For a whole season. Right.
Connor, man, you're doing something there.
Like,
I mean,
like UJ said, we're building something, man.
I mean, Aaron Glenn still can't stop a mobile quarterback. So maybe he'll go the Jim Bob Cooter route and read a bunch of books about it in the offseason.
I know. Too bad JBC's not available if Ben Johnson's gone because he's signed with the Eagles. So, well. He'd be great.
But not to be their offense coordinator, like originally rumored. Did he sign with the Eagles? Is that official?
Oh, I thought he was their OC. That's what I saw in the paper. They changed it.
Hold on. Let's look this up now. This is your boy.
That's what I had read.
Because Kellen Moore is going to be their offense coordinator. So.
Oh, okay. Because that was the report came out.
The report was that he was he could be targeted, but he is not. Kellen Moore is going to the Eagles now to be their OC. So it looks like he's going with with Kellen Moore is going to be in his third different spot in 3 years being an offense coordinator. Because
as well.
What?
You'll have Rod Marinelli, head coach, Patricia, defensive coordinator, and
Jim Bob Cooter.
It'll be a Lions cast off triumvirate.
Can Marty Mordenwig be like a special advisor?
Yeah. Take the win. Take the win.
Matt Millen will be like assistant GM or the GM.
Oh my God.
He can be the GM. He's learned his lessons.
Yeah.
What to do.
Oh my God.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the coaching staff. But I had it on here somewhere. But I mean, the Lions are like the fifth youngest team in the NFL, I think. And obviously the rookie class has been dynamite this year. So, I mean, they're super young. They got a lot of decisions to make, obviously, in the offseason. Jonah Jackson, Jalen Reeves-Maven, obviously a lot of their secondary defense. I think the Lions got to find another edge rusher that's more consistent. Houston was out there a little bit. He didn't do too much, but he was out there.
He's a controversial player where they thought he had a dirty hit on.
Oh, yeah. Dirty. That was his highlight of the game.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
And it probably should have been a flag the way they call them in the NFL, even though if we disagree with it. The way the NFL calls it these days, it probably should have been. But
That's the logic.
Yeah, there's a cornerback from Toledo I've seen mocked a few times to the Lions. I mean, we'll get into all these guys as we have plenty of time. The Lions, Detroit, hosting the draft this year, too. So,
Yeah.
I would say cornerback, edge rusher, and a kicker would be nice.
Kicker. Do you draft a kicker, though? Do you draft it? It doesn't work out that well for these teams.
Acquiring a kicker, however they do it.
Yeah.
I say O-line, D-line, and cornerback.
Do the season ticket holders get any sort of draft benefits? Like, do you get a front row ticket or anything like that?
I don't know. I'll check the email. See what they. That'd be cool if they did.
Yeah, just curious. If they're gonna raise the prices, they should at least throw a bone for the draft, right?
They should. Man, that's crazy.
Yeah,
prices now.
Yeah, it's ludicrous. But yeah, is there anything else you guys wanted to add about the this game, or just
sentiment about the game?
Yeah, just kind of to go off what UJ said. It sucks that they lost, but this year was so much fun. It's probably my most fun as a Lions fan by far, and I just love this team. And having Brad Holmes, I feel like this is not going to be just a one-hit wonder. That they didn't just go out and get like old free agents to try to make this run. They're doing it their own way. So yeah. I'm excited about the future.
Yeah, the Lions have four picks in the first three rounds in this draft, too. So they have a lot of draft capital to leverage, although picking at the later half, so that's unique for the Lions. Yeah. You got to wait. Now we got to wait all night. We got to wait like 3+ hours for the Lions to pick instead of like the first 30 minutes. So that'll be a unique experience. A lot more drinks flowing, I assume, in that regard. But and watch, we'll get all the way there, and the Lions will trade out of the pick, and no picks will happen in the first round. Yeah, or they trade up. Or they can trade up.
I don't know. They were pretty damn precious about them around the trade deadline. I think they have some plans for them. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, we'll talk about it later. But the big, I mean, they got to sign, they got to extend Goff for sure, and he'll probably get a boatload of money, probably 45 to near 50 million. Honestly, the way these things go. They'll probably backload the contract. That's when it's good to have like a guy like Mike Disney still around. He's a salary cap guru.
Yeah.
Lines up $70 million roughly in salary cap space to work with in the offseason. So a lot of positives, but there's a lot of teams out there with a lot of salary cap space. So you got to recruit the guys, and hopefully the culture the Lions have built is a big recruiting element to get some of that top tier talent in when competing with the other teams.
This could
be. Absolutely.
We hope, but we can get all of that later. But I agree with Bob. I agree with you, Jay. Yeah, this is the most fun Lions team I've ever had the privilege of watching, and the playoff game was incredible to attend. I will never forget it. Even if I like went to an NFC Championship game in Detroit, this would the first one playoff game home to watch them win was just
that was amazing.
I will just never forget it. I know you won't either, Bob. I know Connor, the rest of the fam.
I never will either.
Yeah.
To Lions fans out there too, you know, the players, they worked their ass off. They got their heart ripped out at the end, you know, and you watch these interviews in the locker room, they're horrible. They're just gut wrenchingly horrible interviews because these people don't know what kind of questions to ask them. And they're just, you know, they just had their heart ripped out, and you're asking how these lame questions. And it kind of bothers me, but you know, and we're all mad and we're all unhappy that they lost, but you know what? Okay, take a break. It's time. The players now are going to go home. They're going to take a vacation. They're going to relax, and they're going to, you know,
Cabo.
Assess everything. Take a nice, well-deserved vacation. But you know what? The Lions fans, we fanned our asses off this year, okay? We fanned hard. Harder than we've ever fanned any other year, and we deserve a break too. So, guys, just
Relish
the great season we had and take a break, dude. Take
Ford
a break.
Field is awesome. That was a sold out like lower section in a stadium for no game going on.
Yeah.
It sold out in 2 hours or less even. That was really cool to see on TV, at least all the fans in the stadium. What a fun first half atmosphere. Probably not a fun second half atmosphere.
Yeah. Unfortunately this game just proved out to be like sort of more of like a teaser and a benchmark season, but man, this it got me so damn excited about what's to come from this Lions organization. This team.
Yes, okay. Sir. Young team. But like Campbell said, you know, they're not hidden anymore. Everybody's going to be hunting after them next year. So it's going to be fun. But we'll get into all that. So next week, we'll release our grades podcast, our ever famous grades podcast, where we go through our greats of the season. The Camel one might be interesting, you know, with the postseason and everything involved. But we will get into all that. So I agree in position groups and ownership and GM, front office, et cetera. But, you know, it's a tough one. We're not going to go over this one for a while, but and we're not even playing. So I can't imagine how the players feel.
I'm already looking at next year. Forgot this.
You forgot it? We just talked
no,
about
we
it.
No, we got this.
Oh, we got this. Okay. So, so that'll be like our kind of wrap up for the season podcast. We'll probably take a break after that episode, but a little break. We'll take our vacation, our well earned vacation, as UJ said, for our fandom. But anyways, thank you to SidelineReport.com for supporting the podcast. Thank you to our producer,
KJ,
for producing the hell out of this podcast each and every week throughout the season.
He's the best. He's the best in the biz.
The best. Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter/X at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts about those Campbell decisions. This is Lions season as a whole as well. I'm sure there's a lot to say. Or y'all have a lot to say, because every Lions fan season has a slightly different opinion. And then, email drinkingtheblueKool-Aid@gmail.com. And then YouTube, we'll be posting this tomorrow, actually, on YouTube. That's DTBK. Search us on there, or type in Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid in YouTube, and then you should be able to easily find us and subscribe to the channel, because we'll have some. I think we might be live streaming our grades podcast, possibly, so stay tuned for that. But otherwise, listeners, we want to thank you for sticking with us through all these playoffs, all these games. We got one more episode to kind of wrap up our season next week with all the grades that we'll give out for the year. So stay tuned for that. That'll be our season wrap up episode. But just, hey, you know, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. We feel ya. Oh, yeah.
Consider that.
Yeah, but I would have liked to extend it for two more weeks. But,
oh, God,
another year.
Me too.
Another year. Well, good news for Lil G, Bob, is that Taylor Swift will be at the Super Bowl. So
yeah. Oh, yeah, but she hates the Chiefs, so she's not going to be falling for them.
All right, who do you guys for just initially in the Super Bowl, Chiefs or 49ers? I'm for the – I know some of you guys – are you – wait, first of all, you're going to watch it because, UJ, you said no. Bob, you said no, right?
I probably will watch it.
I don't know.
I'm going to watch it.
But I'm kind of for the Niners more because I have annoying Chiefs fans in my life.
Oh, I'm for the Chiefs.
But I like Mahomes. I
hate the 49ers. I hate Kyle Shanahan. I think he's annoying and whiny. I really like seeing Kyle Shanahan's whiny face in the first half and his befuddlement. At the ass kicking, and then well,
I don't have...
I usually pull for the NFC unless you know I hate.
I got you. I love seeing the greatness though, and Patrick Mahomes is undeniably phenomenal.
Yeah,
it would be nice. Phenomenal. You know, we would have lost to the Super Bowl champs if the Niners win, though. You know, I think that is worth something.
I kind of favor the Niners in the NFC. Love McCaffrey. McCaffrey's a stud.
I do like McCaffrey. I like him.
I don't have a whole lot of love for either team.
Well, right. Yeah. I don't think either of us.
Yeah. I don't either.
So, anyways.
It was cool seeing Joe Montana out there, though. I like that guy.
Yeah. He's out there. Yeah.
So,
at least it's not the Cowboys or the Packers.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, and that stupid logo conspiracy theory can go wherever because it's. It wasn't the Ravens and the 49ers.
No, the Ravens really choked. We don't have to get into that game, but they blew their probably their best chance. Lamar Jackson did not look like an MVP in that entire game. He was awful.
That's my prediction. He'd never win a Super Bowl. That's my prediction.
2-4 in the playoffs he is now. So that'll wrap it up. Actually, but the color conspiracy thing, Road Dog. Actually, Taylor Swift has like a purple album, and that was her color, and then the Chiefs red. I saw someone post that.
Don't do that.
Maybe the conspiracy was there all along. Oh, the 49ers red and the Taylor Swift purple.
I don't... That. Wow. That conspiracy cannot be that meta. I refuse to.
Well, I'm sure the NFL is thrilled to have her. You know, that's probably bringing more viewers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Match
made. Anyways, we'll wrap it up here. So thank you, listeners, especially if you always listen to this part of the podcast where we get to the very end and tend to trail off into other topics. We really appreciate you. So thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week with our grades. And last but not least, as always, go!
Lions! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Go.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.